Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Anna, and with me is...
Mark Huffer.
Super excited that we are together to kind of talk to you about activities, because that's a hot topic, right?
It's a very timely topic. I think you, as I, have fielded the dreaded, what do I put on my extracurricular list question from all of your students about this time?
Yes, and also how much should I have?
Yeah. How many things should I list? I have, they give me 15 blanks. Should I fill them all?
Right. So I think this is a timely subject. Before we dive into like all these questions, let's talk about like why activities are even important. Because I don't think they were that important, like even say like 15, 20 years ago for the college application process.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they were near. And I think that's one thing that is really important that educational consultants actually bring to the table is hopefully we've got our finger on the pulse of talking with admissions representatives and know what kind of things they're looking for, because that activity list and the expectations has changed over time. Haven't you heard that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's ironic because I first kind of understood how it evolved when I was an interviewer and when we were in training. And the person had told us that typically younger graduates are much harsher critics or interviewers, but that's because we think of all the things we did to get in. And then people that are older, let's say 30, 40 years ago, they didn't really have to do as much. So they're more easily impressed, if that makes sense.
Agreed. I think the biggest evolution has gone from the, you know, it's basically a laundry list of things that every activity you've ever done or thought about doing was supposed to be listed to show this incredible breadth of your activities. And I think colleges have found that there isn't really a good correlation between having done a lot of things or been interested in a lot of things and your success in college. But now, especially in the last 5 years, they're looking for very specific things, and they've noticed that there are a lot of differences that they look for in what kind of activities are important to you.
Yes, that is true. And I think back in the day when I was applying for school, they were looking for, the saying was that they were looking for well-rounded students. But I think it's much more that they're looking for students now that are passionate in a few areas that can add to a well-rounded student body that they are creating at the school.
Absolutely. I think they are looking for those students that bring certain things to the student body and more importantly to the classroom discussions. They want to make sure that there are those interesting students who have an interesting background and set of experiences. I think if we frame what the extracurricular list and why it's important, if one of the things is we know you've got an application and it's got certain components, and I think that's one thing that students need to understand, that the extracurricular list is part of that application. But if we know that your GPA and your test scores are 50% of the evaluation, and we know that essay and recommendations are probably 30 to 35% more of the evaluation, then there's the, you know, secret sauce, the stuff that includes everything from your extracurricular list to the things that you bring to the table that may not be extracurriculars.
That's a great point. Absolutely. And I think, you know, we can dive into this, but there's so many reasons that that you call it the secret sauce, because activities are more than just where you spend your time. It really tells admissions so much about, you know, what you care about, because otherwise you wouldn't be spending time there.
Agreed. So when you sit down with a student, Anna, and you look at that extracurricular, how do you define what they should think of as an extracurricular?
So that's a really good question. We usually talk about extracurricular as any activity or something that they do outside of school, in the sense that they don't receive like credit or a grade for it. So for example, it could be like biology club, which is held at the school, but is not something that is graded, if that makes sense. But not all activities even need to be academic related, right? Because the common application gives you 10 spots for activities. And I think oftentimes you don't think about how you can, like, even just babysitting your brother or, you know, every day counts as an activity because that's where you spend your time.
Absolutely. I think I love your definition that it's something that doesn't have a grade associated with that. I'm going to steal that from you.
Please do.
One of the things a lot of times students think that if it has anything to do with school, it's not an extracurricular. And so I like your definition because, and I think I use the example of, chemistry, biology, physics, those things are not extracurriculars, but Science Bowl, because you have to opt into it and it's actually not, like you say, graded, and it happens outside of the school curriculum. That's one thing. Students often won't put something like that down because they don't understand that it is something you have to opt into when it's extracurricular.
Correct. Absolutely. But there's also activities you can do outside of school too.
Yeah, and tell me more.
And I think one of the common ones that comes up for me with discussions with parents and stuff is community service. Yeah. I don't know if that comes up a lot for you too.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think with community service, because it is also a school requirement, I don't think students are as, either some are, that's the first thing they jump on, or some are not as willing to identify that as their extracurricular.
So you're saying that community service is required at the schools where you are?
Oh yeah, there's some schools that, at least here in the Northwest, we've got schools where it's part of your graduation requirement.
Oh, we don't have that here. Some of the private religious institutions do, but most of the publics do not require it. So it can be challenging because I do have students that are like eager to get involved with community service, but sometimes age is a concern because you have to be a certain age sometimes. But in that situation, I always say that, you can start something yourself. If little kids that are 7 years old can sell lemonade and donate that money, that counts as community service. Or you can look into activities where you can go with your parents because some places do allow you to do that.
Yep. So when you talk with representatives from schools, what are some of the most common things that they, and I actually ask them specifically, what are the things that you look for in general, general terms? What are the things you look for that are the most telling about students' characteristic and what kind of values they have, as well as will be a strong statement of an extracurricular?
I think they're looking for the commitment, I think, and persistence in the sense that you have chosen to do this activity for, let's see, your freshman through senior year, and that it's consistently X times per week and, you spend X many hours and stuff like that. And that it's not like scattered. It's not like this year I did band, the next year I decided to do drama club, and then I did volleyball. So, I think you could say you're exploring, and I think it's common to explore, but I think it's harder to show a school that you're passionate about something if you've got if you've tried 15 different activities.
Yep, agreed. That's definitely the message that I've heard, and it is definitely how extracurriculars have, or the expectations for what is considered an extracurricular has changed over time for schools, and that is the two components are, it's a commitment over time and it's consistency over time, and basically the longer that you've done it consistently and you've shown up consistently. Those are the kind of things that schools have found directly correlate with the kind of student who's successful in college. So they identify things they're passionate about, and they show up. And those are two of the things I think schools have found are really important in the characteristics of a successful student.
Yes, I would agree. And then I think that brings us to the next question, is how many activities is the right amount? Because if you think about it, there's only so many hours in a day.
Yep.
So, and there's so many different activities you could do. It can range from like sports to music, to community service, like we discussed, to academic organizations. So what would you say? What do you tell your students when they ask, how many should I do?
You bet. Yeah, you know, and it's tough because if you look, and like you say, there's only so many hours in the day. And I think schools are, they're aware of this. And I think they actually want to look for the well-rounded student who also finds balance and knows how to make that balance happen, both in school and outside of school, because they know that's going to be something that they bring to college, and that will help them be successful. But I basically, when I talk with students, I say 3 to 5 is a sweet spot. I know that there are those unusual students who do have 10 or more that they've been involved with for a long period of time consistently, but that's really, really rare.
Yes, I would agree. I would say they usually have a few that are their top, and then they might have a few additional activities, but it might not require as much time. Or like, for example, some might only be the summer. So then there's still an activity. But I think also sometimes you have to look at clumping it. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, for example, if you like music, then do you have other activities all about music too? And that really kind of, while it's one category, you can sub multiple activities. So you could be in marching band, and then you're in pit orchestra, and then, you know, maybe you're volunteering with the Triumph Music Honor Society and things like that. But I think then that's the type of passion that admissions is looking for.
Agreed. I think that I use the term one trick pony. And I think that is one thing that students understand when I say, schools don't want to see a one-trick pony. Like you say, it's just music or it's just sports. And I think those are the hardest ones for me are those students who are truly passionate about sports, but that's all they're bringing to the table. And schools are not necessarily considering, you know, 3 different sports 24/7, and that's your complete focus. They really don't see that as well-rounded.
That does make sense. It's like, we want you well-rounded, but not too well-rounded.
Exactly.
But so what do you think is, like, let's talk about why extracurriculars are so important in terms of what they tell us about the candidates.
Sure. The things that I think that I've heard from representatives, what they want to gain from this list, and I think that's important for students. If they take a 10,000-foot view of what the schools are looking for and why, I think that is a great way to approach the list, as opposed to thinking, what are the 15 things that I've done in the last 10 years? And so I think if they understand that schools are looking basically to find out who you are, what's your story, what's important to you, what kind of character do you have? And then also there's that component of how do you view yourself and your position and your impact on your community? What kind of things within your community is important to you?
That's really important. I've actually seen just so many schools with the supplemental essay about the community aspect. So it goes just beyond activities. You know, it's going to come up time and time again because they're trying to figure out, well, what will you bring to our community when you come here?
Exactly. And I think that the extracurricular list can provide, you know, those unique opportunities of things that students might bring to the table that, you know, honestly, with it as competitive as it is now, it can be your interest in something that is a little bit off the wall that catches somebody's attention and says, you know, that is a perspective that we would value in our classroom and on our campus. And that's one of the things I think that students don't understand. Even though it might be a little strange, it actually is what makes them stand out and unique.
And I would say absolutely, like, follow your heart. Don't be picking activities that you think you should do. Pick activities that you're genuinely interested in, because they take up a lot of time, so you might as well enjoy it. But also, similar to what you said, Mark, you don't know what they're looking for. So for some student, I had a student, and the most interesting thing I learned about him was he was also a DJ. So he was this athlete, but then he was also like this awesome kid in school. But on top of that, the thing he really enjoyed doing was DJ. And I think that was something that stuck out. And even though it would have been, it doesn't seem like an obvious activity to choose, it was one he fell into by himself. And I think it helped him stand out.
Agreed. And that's one of the things I really like having conversations with students about what they do and what's important and what they enjoy, for that very reason, because it's a lot of times you find out those little pieces that make them unique, and they don't see DJing as something where, A, you have to show up on time. You have to know what you're going to bring. You have to have an idea of what you're going to do. It's all of those thoughts that happen beforehand. And it can include everything from financials and knowing how to keep books and knowing how to communicate with people about finances that are all included with DJing. And I think that's one of the things that students don't realize. It's not just DJing. It's all those skills you learn while you're doing it.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like that's why a lot of people talk about, oh, how important a job is. And I don't think so. Some parents ask me, like, does my child need a job? And I'm like, your child doesn't need any activity and any specific activity, right? Yeah. Pick something that they're interested in. If they really want to work because they want to know what that's like, then by all means, if they have time, let them work. But I don't think there is like I don't think there's a set of right activities, if you will.
Exactly. I think when I hear students who say, well, I don't have any arts, or I don't have any music, or I don't have any sports, I have to let them know that not everybody is going to have everything, and they shouldn't, because that's actually not what a lot of schools are looking for. They're looking for, as we mentioned, that well-rounded person who's interested in some things passionately.
Yes. Passion is the key.
Passion. I agree. So have you had a student with too many extracurriculars that were all valid, meaning that they were consistent over time and that they've done for a long period of time? Have you had somebody who actually had more than 15?
I don't know about more than 15, but they definitely had more than the 10 they could fit on the Common application.
Got it.
But it wasn't such that it didn't feel overwhelming, because it was key, like three key areas that you could see that they were passionate about, and they were split up between school, like school year activities and then summer activities.
Yes.
So, and some activities weren't that long. Like they had an internship that was maybe 3 weeks. So,
yes.
You know, it just ranged, but they did have a lot of activities on their resume, but I think it worked because there were, like, you could see that they fell into buckets of areas that she was passionate about. How about you?
Let's see. I don't think I've ever had anybody who I would consider to have had more than 8 where they truly were consistent over a long period of time. And I think it goes back to, like you said, there are only so many hours in a day. And if they're bringing their academic record to the table and it's stellar as well, it's very rare that somebody is actually going to be awake and be able to do all of those things.
Yes, absolutely. On the opposite end of the spectrum, what do you tell students who don't have any or are not interested in having any extracurricular activities?
You bet. And I think that is actually one of the hardest things, because if you're working with a junior or senior, they don't have time to be able to introduce a lot of things for a extracurricular activity that they've done consistently over a long period of time. And what it really breaks my heart when I see this person has played soccer and that's all they've done. And they've done it well and they've done it often, but that's all they have for anything that could be considered an extracurricular. That's a very tough discussion. And the reason being, I think we know as educational consultants, we know that that is an opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't available to them, and you know that it's actually going to work against them. It's very difficult.
Yes, I think it's a difficult conversation to have. I really did have someone actually walk in and tell me their kid didn't want to do any. And ironically, I asked, well, where do you spend your time? And they're like, schoolwork. And they do have a perfect 4.0 GPA, which I think is rare also. But and when they're not doing schoolwork, they just like to be at home with their family and playing video games.
Yep. And so, that is becoming more and more common.
Yeah, and I don't blame them for the family part, but the video games even I don't blame them for, because I do think it exercises a part of the brain that, you know, in terms of creativity and strategy. But unfortunately, I don't know that that gets as much credit as it should with colleges. Good. But at the other end of the spectrum, I mean, I do work with a population also sometimes that they just don't have time to do activities, and they don't have the resources to do activities. And so I'll often remind them that, you know, helping out at home or, you know, working, and that's the only activity you have, is working a job to help pay, you know, some of the bills for your family. I was like, that means a lot. Yep. And I think you can absolutely, you know, include a note in the additional information section to explain if you are short on a few activities or things like that.
Definitely. I definitely tell students that if work by necessity, especially, is required part of their academic and social existence, they really need to identify that. And I think schools also understand if a student has maintained good grades and they are also working 20 hours a week to help their family, there's a certain cachet in that. And I know schools also identify that those kind of students who have that kind of focus and wherewithal and commitment to their family, mm-hmm. that definitely carries over into college and a lot of the maturity that comes with it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about jobs, and I mean, you do have to be responsible to show up on time. Yeah. And I think they do learn not only, it depends on the job, but what I've realized with my students is they really enjoyed it because they've come to interact with people that are different from them a lot of the time too. And so it's a learning experience as well.
I agree. I would definitely, I would believe that schools look at someone who has done 3 days of service in a third world country helping build houses. Granted, that's an incredibly, a very rich experience, but somebody who has worked 20 hours a week working with the public and, like you say, across, you know, and met many different people from many different backgrounds, those are two very different experiences. And I would definitely hope that the person who's working is identified as somebody who brings something very unique to the conversation.
True. So here's another thing. So with activities, there's a few other things to consider is leadership. Do you also have this conversation where they're like, I need leadership. Where do I get leadership?
Absolutely. And especially because that's one of my focuses with working with students is developing leadership skills that both apply to college, but college and beyond, hopefully things that they will carry with them into the professional and into their family life. So I believe the leadership component is a huge one, but there are a lot of different ways to approach that. There is leadership because you are called to it and because it's part of your mission. And then there's leadership because somebody told you it would look good on your college application. And very different things. starting an organization is a good thing, but why you start it is probably even more important.
Yes, and we've talked about that together too, in terms of I feel like I do hear, not from my kids, but like their friends or like friends of the family, how like they're starting organizations left and right for college. Yep. And I'm saying, that is not something we do here. We don't do it for college. I was like, if you want to do something, I would expect that whatever you create, you would still want to do in college and beyond. And yep. That really tells me the amount of dedication you have and how much you really care about whatever you are starting.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part that students need to know, that these pieces of the extracurricular list, they're all part of a holistic view of your application. I mean, they should resonate with not only your personal essay and your supplemental essays, but it should also be heard and resonate with your recommendations, what other people mm-hmm. have said about you. So schools are wise to the fact of students trying to put themselves in the best possible light, but they also can see a red herring when it's presented. So I think that's one thing that's important. If you do things because you're called to it and because it's part of who you are, that is a very different thing than padding your college application.
Yes, and I, like you said, colleges do see through that.
Very good.
So the other thing I was going to say is how do they have time to balance everything? Because my kids will often tell me, how am I supposed to pick up all these activities while juggling like honors and AP classes?
Yep. I love those things that are, if they're driven by passion, it's amazing how many hours you can find to do things. But also there are twofers or threefers. Where,
that's what I would say too.
You know, if it's part of your academic work as well as your passion, if you can find a way of getting a twofer in your community, either helping or teaching or, you know, presenting things that you're passionate about, that also happens to be part of an academic subject, then I bet there are ways you can leverage them both.
Yes. And sometimes you can do, like you said, you could find a trifecta of stuff too. Where you hit the passion part, you hit the community part, you hit some other part. So, you know, and then like, I think the other thing I would say is like, you know, some students will say, oh, I hate sports, so I have to do a sport. I'm like, no, if you hate sports, why would you do sports? Like, why are you asking me this?
Exactly. Yeah. I put down football and I hated it. I put down basketball and I hated it. And I, yeah, that doesn't look so good either. So if you had students put down some things, and this is shifting gears a little bit, but just so we can help those students who are thinking about putting something down, and maybe we would suggest differently, some examples of things you've seen on the extracurricular list where you had to explain to a student, maybe that wasn't the best.
I'm trying to think if there has been anything. I don't know that I have had that, but the only thing I would question is if they haven't really spent time in the activity. So if you only just signed up at the initial sign up day and you showed up to two meetings,
yep.
I question whether or not we should be including that as an activity. So one of the ones that'll come up is like National Honor Society.
Yeah.
And it's pretty, I don't know if it's common here, there, but it's common here where students will be inducted, and that for sure is an honor. But in terms of doing stuff, they might not be doing stuff in the club actively. And so for me, I just feel like, you know, that's going to be reflected and it's not going to show up in your recommendation either. So I don't know why we would put that, just because
agreed.
It's important.
I tell students, I'm glad you brought up the national merit. I tell students, if you're one of the 300 finalists, then put it down. Otherwise, you know, it's a great honor, but unless you are really active in promoting it and all of the things that go along with it, it's not something that is necessarily what I would consider an extracurricular or an honors.
That's a great point.
So one of the common ones that I have had students are the things that they've done 1 or 2 hours a year for 1 or 2 years. And these are the classic things like they helped a food drive during Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Or they went to a nursing home for 30 minutes, 3 times over the last 3 years. And those are ones that I've seen, but I've also seen crazy ones. And for an example, I had somebody who put Pokemon Trading Club cards.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've been active in it 10 years and probably 2 times a week. And they promoted the club and the whole bit, but it was something that I had to explain to them, or, you know, at least put a different perspective on why, you know, maybe the Pokemon Trading Club card was not the best possible thing they could list.
That's really interesting. I haven't had any of those. I wish I did. I really haven't. That is definitely the most random activity I've heard of.
Oh, no. I've had somebody who put down walking their brother home from school every day for the last 3 years should have been an extracurricular activity.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, I am for, like, family obligations, but I don't know if that quite counts as family obligation.
Yeah.
I have had students that are light, and then I always tell them for different reasons, like illness, for example. And so because they were sick and not actually physically in the school as much as they could have been, or as much as they would have liked to have been, I should say, they didn't get a chance to join a lot of clubs and activities. And so I said, okay, well, you do have a valid reason. So that you can explain. But in terms of activities, I don't think I've had that one. But I do see, like, for example, volunteering at the hospital. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is as you pick activities, like we said before, related to your passions. Because I don't really understand how, like, for example, if you are an athlete, how the best option for you to do community service is at the nursing home.
Yep.
Unless you want to go into, like, the medical field or something potentially, or care field. Because I feel like you would probably be better served being a mentor or an assistant coach to, like, a little league team somewhere.
Yeah. So on a similar note, what are things that you have discovered that a student does that they had no clue would actually look good on either the additional information or the extracurricular activities? And you and I might look at them and go, this is absolutely what they're looking for. But have you heard activities in a discussion offhand and it's turned out to be one of those things that really needs to go on the list?
Yes. I would say, believe it or not, a blog. So they were like really a foodie, as you know, that we both are foodies too, but they were really, they're very health conscious. And so they had put together a cooking blog, and it was just something that they enjoyed doing on their spare time. And so they listed all the sports and stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, we should be putting this too. I was like, especially if you've been invited to be on national television.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which they had totally downplayed and not realized that this was an important thing. And it was related to what they wanted to study, too. And I was like, we should definitely put this on. One of your top activities.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think that we don't often recognize that some schools or the type of school that you're applying to, there are certain activities that you would definitely put. Like if you're applying to a science school or say like, you know, an engineering school, while it's nice to put down, you know, basketball or, sports or music, you definitely want to make sure that if you've been in FIRST Robotics or something like that, that definitely goes in the list.
Yes.
I had a student that I found out had run, an Etsy shop.
Oh,
had made $100 a month for the last 3 years. And
that's really cool.
They totally didn't, it was the furthest thing from their mind that that was anything that should belong on their college application.
I had a student that was similar. They made money off videos they'd created for YouTube.
Exactly.
And they're like, wait, that doesn't count. I was like, yeah, it does count. Or what's even worse is like sometimes like kids will have like what I'll call like kind of menial labor jobs, like for example, working at McDonald's.
Yep.
And they're like almost like not ashamed, but like kind of embarrassed about it. And I'm like, no, this is like the best thing ever. We're going to put it down. So I think different things like that. And I think it's that's why it's really good to bounce ideas off people, because you might think it's not important, but it could be.
Right. And I think that's one of the things, a lot of times the things that students find that they're very passionate about and it is part of who they are, they don't necessarily see that as valuable to anyone else or why anyone else would care. I had a student who over the course of 4 years had worked in an airport doing a lot of grunt labor and had got his pilot's license. And
wow.
You know, all I'm thinking consistency and commitment over time, you know, passion, all of the things. That was one that I just really was thrilled to hear about, and it definitely went into the application. Another one was a young woman who was passionate about spoken word poetry.
Oh.
And she actually performed weekly, and it had become something that she had taught other younger kids about and had actually created workshops for them on how to develop spoken word poetry and how to perform and all of that. And because it was something she was so passionate about, she didn't necessarily see it as valuable to others.
How interesting, where that is exactly the definition of the best activity is the passion component. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm sure my kids do great stuff. I'm not knocking that they don't. But I had another student who, but he knew it was, he knew he was going to add it as an activity where he had founded a company that then donated the proceeds and back to his, and but it only makes sense if you want to do that, right? Like, don't be doing it if you have no interest, right? But there was a story behind it in terms of where he donated the money to. And how he had spent time there and living with the people there and just realized how fortunate he was. And so they were so giving to him when he was there, and it had kind of stuck with him. So I think that makes sense.
I think you're right. Those things where I think they're so close and so personal, sometimes students aren't willing to share, or they are almost embarrassed because they are so passionate about it. And it's so much part of who they are.
Yes. Although I did have some student ask me the other day, what about writing a horror film? And I was like, I don't know yet. Let me think. I was like, let me think. Why don't you come up, tell me what, you know, really plan this out for a second and then let me think about it.
Right.
And help me understand why this is important to you.
Yeah. It's those ones that are on the fence where you have to think about and wonder how is a school going to necessarily view a particular activity for sure.
Exactly.
So in closing, what are the things that you think are the most important takeaways when you talk with a student about the things that they should list on their extracurricular list?
I think that it should, whatever you list should demonstrate passion. It should demonstrate commitment and consistency. It's, in my opinion, should also demonstrate your values, because ideally you shouldn't be in activities that you don't care about. So they should be important to who you are, and some have even maybe shaped the person you are. And because activities go beyond just the resume or the activities list, they spill over into your interviews and your essays and your recs and everything like that too. But I think those are the most important things, and you know, start early. That's what I would say. How about you?
No, those are absolutely on point with what I think I tell students, and the other component about that is all of those things are important, and to look at it as your application is this big picture statement story about who you are, and it should be connected. And one of the things I tell students, there's a lot of interviews when you get interviewed by a school. Those things that go on your extracurricular list are going to separate you from everybody else they interview. So think of it as the things that you want to talk about.
That's a great, great point, Mark. And I think that's a wonderful ending note to wrap up today's session on.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.